Welcome to Your Own Health and Fitness. I'm health integrationist Lena Berman, and I come to you weekly to discuss self-care and the art of healing. I'm not afraid of flying. In fact, I really love that feeling of when the plane takes off and you kind of sink back into your seat. I love that feeling. But, you know, I don't travel very well, particularly because I'm real sensitive to fragrances. So a few years ago, while preparing for a trip, I searched the internet for information on non-toxic hotel rooms. These are sometimes called green rooms. I didn't find much out about what I was looking for, but I did find a website about how to protect your health while flying. So I ordered the book, which is called Jet Smarter, and I used much of the information in it while I was traveling. This was really interesting for the stewards on the plane, who were really fascinated when I called one over and asked them to ask the pilot to open another air pack because the air felt close and I was getting kind of lightheaded. They actually had never heard of that, and they were really surprised that the pilot responded immediately without any argument, and they were also really grateful to have the air improved, because it did. It was really noticeable. It just got, like, clear all of a sudden. So I'd like you to join me in the next hour as I interview the author of Jet Smarter, Diana Fairchild, and let me also remind you that we're in the middle of our winter fun drive, as you've been hearing endless times, and I'm going to have to ask Sally over there at KPFA, to run over to Gary and find out at what level we're offering Jet Smarter as a thank you gift, because I need that information to encourage people to call.
I'm looking into that right now.
Thank you. So the book we're talking about is Jet Smarter, The Air Traveler's RX. It's over 300 pages with really practical information. And as usual, you would call us at 510-848. Oh, dear. 5732 or 1-800-439-5732. I know these now by heart. Oh, you've got them written down. Good. And we will give you a copy of Jet Smarter. I almost know what the price will be, at what level we'll be offering it, but I will get that information from Sally soon. And as usual, we will also have other gifts if you're interested at joining at whatever level you want to join at. There'll be all kinds of other thank you gifts that the volunteers will tell you about. But let me first introduce our guest and get into this interview so you will be motivated to call us during the hour, join KPFA, and get a copy of Jet Smarter. Diane Fairchild is an aviation health and safety author, and she's an expert witness in legal cases involving the death and injury of airline passengers. In 1992, Diana's first book, Jet Smarter, opened up a Pandora's box of airline abuses against passengers and employees, and subsequently dozens of her revelations have received a lot of media attention. So we're very honored to have her on the phone from Hawaii. Welcome to you, Diana Fairchild.
Thank you, Lena. It's so nice to be invited to your show.
Aw, thanks. So I think a lot of travelers feel unwell after air travel and don't know why. And your book uncovers a toxic, radioactive, and microbial soup that makes jet lag seem like a minor inconvenience. Do you think that there are some people who should actually avoid air travel?
Yes, definitely. People who have had recent surgeries, people who have had recent blood clots, and people with blood pressure problems, sometimes very small children. These are groups of people that it could be very dangerous for flying.
So one of the things that might be prudent is if there's a question, you should do some kind of risk assessment.
Yes, people often ask me, is it safe for them to fly? And I've written Jet Smarter so that people can understand the whole picture. It's not to scare people. And in every chapter, I offer my personal strategies on how to sometimes even prevent the problem, but at least how to take care of it afterwards and what to do on the plane as well.
Yeah, so you have a lot of really practical solutions in here. I mean, it's very thorough. So one of the things that
I don't want people to be afraid of the information, because sometimes it's very shocking.
It's a little overwhelming, but I've noticed that the further into the book you get, like if when I first got the book, what I did was I sort of scanned it for the fast information on, okay, what can I do to protect myself? And there was a lot of information in there that I hadn't even thought of that were really amazing things.
Well, that's amazing for you to say that, Lena, considering your background. I'm really amazed that you said that.
Oh, well, there's suggestions in there that we'll go over about how to help. I mean, there's even simple things like having a damp handkerchief close to your face during the flight so that you're rehydrating your sinuses with moisture and using oil in the insides of your nose to prevent viruses from attaching and getting in. I mean, these were really, really good suggestions. One of the things that we just talked about is that one of the risk factors is cardiovascular, and I think people have done some reading or seen maybe articles about the problems with people having clots from sitting still in a cramped space without moving for long periods of time. So I think some of the suggestions here would be what you first said is to be sure that you're in good shape to fly, and then the second would be doing what?
Well,
it's kind of
I myself had a blood clot early in my career, actually, my second year of flying, and flew for 20 more years after that. So I think that I've really looked at this more than a lot of other people. And what I noticed was that my blood clot was connected to an injury to the leg. A door actually landed on the back of my leg right before the flight, and that injury led to the blood clot. So what I'm recommending for passengers is the first thing is to take special care with their carry-ons and also when they're squeezing into the seat, particularly in economy or sardine class, that they don't injure their legs. That's one of the things that will help prevent this problem. And also I'm recommending, well, you're an expert, Lena, in food, but blood clots, according to my research, start with sticky blood, so they might want to avoid foods that create sticky blood before flying, and that would include high fat, sugar, and alcohol. Isn't that right?
Well, I can't totally agree with you about fat, because the stickiness in the blood is caused by cholesterol, which is not, people misunderstand and assume that the fat in your blood is cholesterol. It's not. It's triglycerides. And
okay.
The sticky stuff that gets caught on your arteries is cholesterol, which carries antioxidants through your body. So the way to prevent having that happen would be to make sure that you reduce the amount of oxidative damage to the body. So that would mean really loading up on antioxidants.
Mm-hmm.
So this would be the time to make sure that you are taking a multivitamin and taking probably some extra vitamin C, which you also suggest in the book.
Right. And I'm also suggesting garlic, which is a
That's nice for the person sitting next to you.
It's a natural blood thinner.
Garlic does. If people really do have a problem, they could probably take some extra vitamin E.
And also, garlic, doesn't it have antiviral properties? I mean, I'm not a nutritionist.
Well, I suppose it does, but I think the major thing it does is keep the other person getting anywhere near you.
Well, that helps because one of the problems with contagious diseases spreading in the cabin is that we are so close to each other that our exhalations are actually bathing neighbors with their mint, our mist.
Well, and I want to go over that, but before we get off the cardiovascular thing, along with taking antioxidants, and I suppose adding some extra antioxidants in wouldn't hurt either, like maybe taking some coenzyme Q10 when you're flying, maybe some alpha lipoic acid. So the idea is to reduce inflammation and to reduce a kind of free radical oxidative thing. Take your omega-3 fatty acids, you know, take your vitamins.
Right, and also don't allow yourself to get dehydrated.
Yes,
people don't realize that the cabin environment is drier than any of the world's deserts, and it gets drier every hour longer that the plane is in the air until all the moisture from the takeoff airport is evaporated, and it's just sucking moisture out of us. So, you know, normally when we get dehydrated, we start feeling thirsty, but it happens so fast in an airplane. So you really need to be conscious of this and do it as a preventative drink. Plenty of water the day before flying and your flight day.
Yeah, and that means not drinking a lot of alcohol and not drinking a lot of coffee or tea, which is going to dehydrate you. But going again back to the cardiovascular problem, one of the things that I've noticed in airlines now is that the card in front of you now has some airline exercises. Mm-hmm. And that may seem silly, but it's not. It, actually, if you can find a way to thrash around in your seat and tighten your buttock muscles and lean forward and do all that kind of stuff that seems really kind of silly actually may save your life if there's a chance of a clot forming. The other thing is when you can get up and walk about once an hour, walk up and down the aisle. And, of course, if everybody who's listening does this at the same time on the same plane, it's going to be kind of funny. Everybody will be sort of shuffling along behind each other. But moving around is terribly important. And I have to say that I'm really concerned about animals and small carriers. I guess I would say that it would make sense if you are going to put an animal in an airplane carrier to make sure that it can stand up and move around a little bit in the carrier.
Mm-hmm. Back to the exercises, one of the exercises I'm recommending while you're in your seat is press down on your heels and press down on your toes.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
That helps to exercise the back of your legs. And another simple thing you can do at your seat is just do the first movement of standing up. You don't have to stand all the way up, but pressing down to the point where you're almost standing up and then sit down. That exercises the deep veins in the backs of the legs. So this is the area where we want to keep exercising, and then you can place your hands on your knees, for instance, and push down and then push against them in an isometric to lift your leg.
Mm-hmm. It would seem that the next really tremendously important thing about air travel is the battle for better air. Because the lack of fresh air makes all the other risk factors worse.
That's right.
So I'd like you to, one of the shocking things in your book is who's actually responsible for the bad air and how to get it changed, both short-term and long-term.
Right. Well, one of the most dangerous things about the bad air is that contagious diseases spread because there's not enough fresh air to dilute it, and there's not enough space between us. And so just a short list of contagious diseases that can spread on a plane include tuberculosis, chickenpox, diphtheria, flu, meningitis, pneumonia, smallpox, whooping cough, and SARS. So if that list isn't enough to inspire anybody, but it's a serious problem. The airlines deliberately cut back on the fresh air in order to save a few dollars per hour for fuel.
Explain what the air packs are and who controls them and how they work.
Well, the engines that fly the plane have two functions. One is to fly the plane and keep the plane in the air, and the second function is to take outside unbreathable air because it's high-altitude air. For instance, if the plane is flying at 30,000 or 40,000 feet, that air is not breathable. So the engine actually sucks that air in and compresses it, packs it. That's why it's called an air pack. It compresses it and packs it and makes it breathable. So by eliminating the need for that and just using the engines for flying and using instead recirculated air, the airlines are saving a little bit of fuel cost and a little bit of wear and tear on the engines.
What was it, like $80 an hour?
I put $80 an hour in the book as a reference, but it changes, of course, because some places have higher fuel costs. But in the United States, it's probably about $80 an hour, but depends what city. You know, fuel prices change.
Sure.
And fluctuate.
But the thing that was interesting was on your suggestion, I went ahead and, because I can really feel it when the air gets close in an airplane. I mean, you have a list of symptoms so people can be alerted, but I know immediately because I'll be reading a book and I'll read the same sentence 16 times and I have no idea what I just read. So I called the steward over and I said, please ask the pilot to open another air pack. I'm feeling that the air is close and I'm having trouble breathing. And they kind of looked confused. They went over, they did it. And they said, and within minutes, the air suddenly flooded the cabin and everybody, you know, it was like your head cleared. And so I did that on every flight about two or three times.
That's wonderful.
But, you know, the thing is, nobody knows to ask this. And right. There's this terrible thing going on. I mean, they're risking everybody's health and life.
That's right.
It's also interesting, of course, to note that the pilots have plenty of air, right?
Well, according to the National Academy of Science, which has researched this, pilots have at least 10 times more air than economy passengers. So when I was a flight attendant, I actually researched this problem. I was the one that broke the story to the press about this problem. People didn't believe me at first, and pilots tried to heckle me. But I knew it was true because, like you, Lena, I'm very sensitive, and I would feel it. I would have difficulty thinking, difficulty working. I was an international flight attendant for 21 years. It was very difficult on me the last, starting in 1978, so it was my last 9 years of flying. I stopped flying the end of 87. And when they started doing this in 78, looking for ways to save money after deregulation, and it was very hard on me, and I'd go up, and I found out in the cockpit what they were doing. I found out where the switches were, and some pilots, you were very lucky, and you must have an angel looking over your shoulder, that they would always do it for you, because even, I have to warn your readers, sometimes they won't do it, and the way to ask is the way you ask, Lena, very politely, and just saying, you know, I'm really having trouble breathing. I feel like there isn't enough oxygen. Is there anything you can do? And not be too savvy and say, I want the PACS turned on, because sometimes pilots bristle at being told what to do.
Ah. So the other thing to do is, if you're on a flight that doesn't have first class, to sit in the bulkhead if you can. In other words, sit as close to the pilot as you can.
The front of the plane is often much better because the air circulates from front back, but personally I have found that sometimes the bulkheads, when they have the bulkhead going all the way to the ceiling or they have a curtain there, aren't as good. But actually that shouldn't be a problem now, because since 9-1-1 they've wanted to have all the planes open like that. So I think that helps with circulation, actually.
You had mentioned, well, I should ID the show very quickly. This is Your Own Health and Fitness. I'm Lena Berman, and I'm on the phone with Diana Fairchild. Her last name is spelled F-A-I-R-E-C-H-I-L-D, Fairchild. Her book is Jet Smarter, and we're offering it during this hour if you join with us, and I will give you ample time to join and get a copy of the book as a thank you gift. So you had mentioned that if you really don't feel well, you should ask for an oxygen bottle. And my impression is that it's not so easy to get an oxygen bottle, and they don't even want you to bring them on because it's a fire hazard.
You're not allowed to carry your own oxygen bottle on like you carry your own water bottle. That is definitely not allowed. But there's two ways to get an oxygen bottle, and one is you pay for it, and one is you get it for free. And if you pay for it, it's a sure thing. You can have that oxygen bottle from the moment you board the plane prior to takeoff, which is the worst time, by the way, for cabin air quality.
When you're stuck on the runway.
Once the plane has disengaged from the auxiliary power unit, which provides fresh air on the ground, until the plane is actually airborne, no fresh air is introduced. So when there's long, like you say, long delays on the runway, the air just gets more and more and more and more stale. That's a real problem. So if you order an oxygen bottle in advance, you'll be taking care of yourself during that period. And I did have a consultation with somebody who was having very bad problems on one of the newer aircraft, 757, and advised him to order oxygen in advance, and he did. He paid for it. He used to fly transcontinental, I think once or twice a month, and he had no problems after that. So for people who are very sensitive or having problems, what you need to do to order in advance is you need a note from your doctor saying you need supplemental oxygen, but you also need the doctor to say that you're fit to fly, that you're not needing oxygen because you're so sick that it's a problem for the airline. So it's a funny sort of delicate edge there.
Yeah.
And then in flight, if you haven't ordered oxygen in advance and you do, and you ask, for instance, for the cabin air to be improved, that you're having trouble thinking or you're having trouble breathing or your lungs hurt or whatever, and it doesn't get any better, then you can say, and again, very politely and almost, if I might suggest, in a humble mode, gee, I feel so sick. Can I have an oxygen bottle? I heard there's oxygen bottles, please. And then you can get one brought to you, and it's for a medical emergency. and then it's free. The airline provides it, and there's 15 to 20 portable bottles, for example, on a 747.
How expensive is an oxygen bottle on an airplane? Not
too much. You have to pay for it, it's $75,
ouch,
$100, depending on the airline.
Whoa. Well, I suppose if you're really chemically sensitive, if you're really, really sensitive, it's probably a good idea, because there also are these situations that you just said where the plane, I was on a plane once for 4 or 5 hours on the runway. And it's like you described in the book, you know, where people start to become, they start having meltdowns because there's no oxygen at all in the cabin. And I suppose intuitively, I think you don't open those air things above your head because they're blowing recirculated air. And if there's someone in the plane who has an infection, you're going to get that infection before you land. Am I right?
Yes. Not only is it recirculated from the other passengers on your flight, but it goes through air conditioning ducts that are almost never cleaned. I mean, not in the life of that plane is that air conditioning duct. If it is cleaned, it's only cleaned like every 80,000 miles or something.
Oh, Lord.
You know, certain airplane checks. So
this is where we go to this issue of lining the inside of your nostrils and sinuses with some oil
One of the reasons for that is that if that goes back to the dry cabin air. There's about 15 or 20 dressers that Lena referred to, the radiation. We can't cover them all in this show.
We're going to try, though.
but one of them is the dry cabin air, which we touched on before. And that dryness causes the mucous membrane in the nostrils to actually crack, and viruses can penetrate the immune system more easily when the cracks open and become enlarged. So lining the nostrils with a little edible oil, like organic olive oil or some oil that you like to put on your skin. Jojoba oil has gotten very expensive, but I like it. It's very nice. It's a little thicker than olive. And you just put a little, you know, wash your hands very well with soap and hot water, and then put a little on your finger and just coat the inside of your nostrils. I'm not talking about pouring oil in there or anything like that. Just dab it around the nostrils. And then on board in flight, you have your own cotton handkerchief that you've washed in your, you know, own natural way, so that it doesn't have any smelly fabric softener or other toxic chemicals in it. And you put that over your nose, and that helps to hold the moisture in. And then on a secondary level, which is even better, which sounds kind of funny talking on the ground now, but once you're on the airplane and you try it, you'll just feel such a relief, is you just wet that handkerchief with your own drinking water and put it over your nose. Oh, it feels so good in that dry cabin air.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said something interesting. You said wash your hands. And, of course, you do want to wash your hands a lot because, as you pointed out, you have people aerating viruses all over the plane, and everything that you touch has, I mean, they don't, between flights, run around with Lysol and clean off everything, or even there isn't even paper on everything. So all of those armrests and the seats in front of you and your tray tables are covered with viruses and microbes. So the idea of washing your hands a lot is terribly important. But you do mention that the water inside the airplane in the bathroom is not very good water. So is it okay to wash your hands with that water?
Well, you know, ideally you would use your own drinking water, but of course you have a very limited supply, so life is a constant compromise, and we're just trying to do the best we can. But, you know, you have to use a judgment call, and I would imagine that people who listen to your show are interested in, you know, enhancing their own gut feeling. I mean, these are the kind of listeners you probably have. And so we just always just have to be mindful and take care. So when we're in the bathroom, for instance, you use a paper towel, and then I use that towel on the doorknob to get out of there, too.
Yeah.
So you just always just try
use your head.
Do the best you can. I mean, certainly you can wash your hands with soap and hot water at home before you leave for the airport without a dangerous supply of water.
Well, and at the airport, too, before you get on the plane.
Yeah, and so you, if it's not a very long flight, you wouldn't need to reapply the oil, but you would probably, you'll be surprised how often you need to put water in your handkerchief because the cabin is so incredibly dry.
Well, and how much water you really should be drinking. You know, I really paid attention to it this time, and we stopped at a store we brought water with us, but it was, I ended up, you had a kind of formula in there, but it seemed to me that I was knocking down many quarts on a 4 or 5 hour flight. It was just, I could feel that I needed it. And as you said, dehydration is tricky because when you're really dehydrated, you don't feel thirsty, which is the creepy thing about it.
Not that fast. I mean, I live in, you know, rainforest in Hawaii, and when I come to California, I feel dry the next day. Even my fingertips are crinkly, you know, because I'm not used to it. But it happens so fast on the plane. It's just a radical thing because it's just way drier than Palm Springs or the Arabian Desert.
Yeah. So bring lots of water with you. I mean,
And also, you know, one thing is helpful is hydrate yourself for a couple days before flying.
Yeah.
You know, you can start taking care.
And you can ask the stewards and stewardesses for water also when they come around with juices and things like that. You're much better off drinking pure water, even as you pointed out, even the bubbly water can give you some gas, and you're going to have more gas on an airplane because of the altitude. So just sticking with pure water. And they actually now seem to have bottled water, I've noticed.
Yes, and also they've been busted for putting tap water in bottled water bottles. And among themselves, they call it Tapion, like Evian. Oh. It's a play on Evian. Do you have Tapion or Evian, they say to each other. So you want to just be sure that the source, you can ask them, is that real bottled water or tap water or Tapion, you know.
Oh, busted. One of the other frightening things is the prevalence of pesticides being sprayed in the cabin. And I actually was on one flight coming back to the Caribbean where they wouldn't let us off and they sprayed the cat, you know, and I knew what was going on, and I was doing things like trying to get up on the seat and hang on to the ceiling while they were doing it so it wouldn't get on me. It only happened once. They sort of, now I think they do it when you're not in the plane. I mean, I think they still do it, but they don't do it while you're standing there. So there's a real issue with this because it's still happening in a lot of international flights.
Right. Well, Lena, they actually do it all three ways. They do a residual spray every 8 weeks on some planes, which has a stronger pesticide that's actually illegal in the U.S., so they do it abroad. And then some planes, they spray the plane every flight before takeoff with no passengers on board. And some planes, they spray after landing with passengers on board.
Yeah.
So it's still going on. And the list of countries that are doing what is on my website.
Yes, and in the book, too.
And in the book.
Right.
So it's in Jet Smarter, yes.
Yeah. Sally? Oh, I guess
yes.
So. Yes. What is the cost for listeners? What is the level of pledge?
Oh, yes. Thank you. I have that information right now. The book Jet Smarter is a $60 pledge.
Oh, boy, that's our regular pledge level, so that's a wonderful deal.
Yeah.
It means that you can join KPFA at the normal $60 level and get Jet Smarter, which has, like I said, over 300 pages of information. So what I'm going to do is take a brief musical break and give people a chance to call in and get copies of this book. The number, again, is 510-848-5732 or 1-800-439-5732. I'm going to give you a little pledging music, and please, I want to remind you on this show, Your Own Health and Fitness, now with Diana Fairchild and her book Jet Smarter, that KPFA is in this winter fund drive. We are having a slow drive, and we really need your help to get up to the level that we can maintain the level of excellence that we're providing you and the kind of shows that you've been getting where you learn the inside scoop on all these things. So please join us now at 510-848-5732, 1-800-439-5732. I'll give you a little pledging music. Get a copy of Jet Smarter at the $60 level. I just want to remind those of you who are taking this brief moment to maybe get on the phone lines and join us at the $60 level for a copy of Jet Smarter. The reasons why you're pledging to KPFA, I mean, if you don't already know the reasons, let me remind you that free speech radio during these political times is essential. At the point where a country loses its free media, that's when things really get serious. So we've got a wonderful network that's struggling to be democratic, and you can become a part of it for today, really, even at $60 level, although if you wish to give more or less, we're very happy to take your money and put it to good use. But join us now at 510-848-5732 or 1-800-439-5732, and we will throw in Jet Smarter, the Air Travelers RX by Diana Fairchild. There's a little blurb on the bottom here from Andrew Weil. It says, Fairchild discusses all the health hazards endemic to modern air travel, and she suggests steps that you can take to protect yourself. And that's what we want from this show and KPFA, Your Own Health and Fitness, is for you to be well taken care of and to be healthy and happy. It's your birthright. So join us now. Help us to help you at 510-848-5732, 1-800-439-5732, and we'll throw in a copy of Jet Smarter, the Air Travelers RX, as a thank you gift at the $60 level.
We've got eight people on the line. Thank you, all of you, for calling. And we've got a full phone room, so keep coming to those phones, folks.
Okay, we'll be back to our interview pretty soon, but we'd like to see a few more of you join at the $60 level right now. And we'll be back to our interview shortly, 510-848-5732, 1-800-439-5732. Please continue to call in. I'll give you a little more music, and we'll be back to our interview with Diane Fairchild. Welcome back. This is Your Own Health and Fitness. I'm Lena Berman, and I'm on the phone with Diana Fairchild, the author of Jet Smarter. And a reminder, if you miss parts of today's show and want to get a cassette of this or any other in the series Your Own Health and Fitness, you can always call my information number at 707-874-2772. And Diana's website is flyana.com, F-L-Y-A-N-A, www.flyana.com, if you want to look at her website. We were talking about the problem with some of the toxic chemicals along with the bad air on the air flight, and we were talking about pesticides. Actually, one suggestion you had, if you get stuck and you are going to be on an international flight, and you can look the flights up on in your book, is you buy yourself an inexpensive disposable raincoat, which you completely cover yourself with when they're spraying, and then you throw it out in the plane on your way out, and that helps to protect you from the mist. But there's also the problem of people in a close space and all of the perfumes and things that are being recirculated through the air. So I would guess that the reason for the handkerchief over your face with the dampness is also to help to protect you from inhaling a bunch of chemicals, too.
Yes, and if you can imagine the fiber in the cotton handkerchief, you know, just imagine that you can look at it under a microscope, you can see that a tight fiber cotton weave will protect you more than a loose fiber cotton weave. And so what I'm suggesting is, you know, you buy a large man's handkerchief or a bandana, and sometimes I've been traveling lately with a bandana that I just wear around my neck loosely and can slip over my nose quickly like the masked bandit. And it's usually a print material, and, you know, it's been washed hundreds of times, and it's a tight weave. And I've been doing this, you know, well, Jet Smart came out in 1992. That was the first time I started recommending it publicly, but I've been doing it really for decades. And recently, in the last year, I've noticed that nobody looks at me as if I'm strange anymore. You know, people glance around and they see me doing it, and probably they're thinking, gee, I got to do that.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
There's no more stigma about covering your nose on the airplane.
Well, and in fact, I would think that now with the advent of SARS, we're probably actually seeing people with masks on in airplanes. Is that correct?
Yes, and excuse me, I didn't mean to.
No, I was. That was fine.
Oh, I was.
Masks.
In the new edition of Jet Smarter, there is a chapter on masks, which goes into this in detail. And one of the things I was discussing in that chapter, which is the one that you'll be selling, that you are selling.
We're giving it away as a thank you gift.
Oh,
we're
sorry,
not selling
giving it away.
It.
The chapter, it has a chapter on masks. One of the things to look at is it's a trade-off. The thing I like about the handkerchief is it takes up no room in your carry-on and it has no weight and it's very simple. And you can launder it yourself so you don't have to worry about any extra chemicals. For instance, those stiff painter's masks. I'm very sensitive like you are, Lena, and I notice that they have a strong smell, so I don't want to be...
Yeah, they're not ideal for someone with chemical sensitivities. It would be better... There are products that you can buy from stores that specialize, like Real Goods or even place Earthsake, various places that specialize. You can look on the web for these places that specialize in products, but there are some charcoal masks, which are produced with very low toxicity, a charcoal mask, which work very well. They're not, you're breathing. I mean, they're a little warm. They're a little stuffy.
Warm, and also there is a low oxygen level in the cabin. So it's a trade-off. You have to figure it out. Again, you have to use your own gut feeling and decide how much extra you want to carry in your carry-on and how much you want to spend. But at least I have a friend, and when she talks, I can see from the side she spits, There are people that do that, a lot of people, and it's very tight in the cabin, so at least it protects a little bit.
I have this image of going on a plane now with a little spray bottle that has a little witch hazel and some lavender oil, which is kind of antiseptic, maybe a little lemon oil, and just like spraying it in the air around my face and spraying it on the person next to me and spraying it on the arms,
Well, maybe a little... another thing that I'm suggesting in the chapter on masks is that you might want to buy a couple of those painter's masks, but not for you. If somebody is near you, either spitting or coughing, the most dangerous, of course, is the coughing, but even the spitting. There are people, but anyway, and just offer it very gently and very quietly,
right.
But probably you didn't notice. The other day I was on a plane and the flight attendant was coughing badly and I said to him, excuse me, but could you cough in another area of the plane? I'm so phobic about catching stuff. And it's just, it's almost not even the words. It's your attitude.
You have to have a sense of humor and be light about it.
Humor
somehow.
And also, flight attendants are so overworked. So if you could stay in that mode where you're not pushing them, and just be kind and gentle with them. You'll get everything you want on the plane.
Yeah, I've observed that. I actually have turned them onto your book, too, which is kind of fun.
Thank you.
Sure. So I want to rush through a few other things. I have written down in my notes, ozone. Oh, no. the ironic thing is that there's all this ozone on the plane, and it's irritating already. And then people are buying these personal air purifiers to wear around their necks, and they're using ozone.
I know, and not only that, but those personal air purifiers sit right over your thymus gland, and they sit right on your chest there.
Yeah.
And for me, it interferes with my pulse, so I don't know about others, but...
Yeah, but anyway, ozone is irritating, and then...
Ozone is a poison gas.
Yeah.
And planes fly through feather wisps from the ozone layer because of damage to the ozone layer, particularly... At higher latitudes, that means over the pole, and at higher altitudes. So, for instance, you could get less ozone if you fly west coast to London through New York or Miami than if you fly west coast over the pole, if you fly over the pole. So that's one way you can prevent it. You get less radiation and less ozone if you avoid polar flights.
Well, and it's interesting because that's another thing that you talk about in the book is how to plan your flight to avoid certain things. And I was about to move on to radiation, and it's so funny, when patients ask their doctors about a certain X-ray procedure and what the dose is, they'll never answer. What they'll tell you is, it's like taking a plane trip. So, you know what, that's not good news, actually, because there's a lot of radiation on a plane, and there's no safe dose for radiation, and yes, stewards do get cancer.
Right, and pilots, because that is not, but the radiation is dangerous on a normal day, but when there's solar flares like there have been in the last few months, then it could be even 100 chest x-rays. That is a very dangerous
oh
time
my God,
for people
100
who
chest
are
x-rays.
Pregnant or who have cancer.
Well, or who don't want cancer. You know, someone who maybe has a particular proclivity for not having cancer would...
That's a better way to say it.
Yeah. So there's a big issue here about actually taking, you know, since there's so much information in your book, actually taking some time to plan your trip, like you said, noticing how you know, like you make the point of sometimes taking little hop jump trips instead. You know, everyone thinks they're supposed to go nonstop, but sometimes if you're taking little hop skip jump plane rides to get where you're going, you're not flying at a high altitude the whole time, so you're having less problem with the radiation and less problem with the altitude, which can be
That's
irritating.
Right. So it's, again, it's something to look at: expense, time, all these things, and so. What I'd like to do is provide this information to people, and then they can make their best decision. For instance, on the West Coast, Tokyo or Asia trips now, they've really cut out Hawaii a lot, and people are going nonstop. But really, a rest stop near the equator is the healthiest thing you can do on one of those trips.
Yeah, getting off an airplane and running around the airport a little bit, or running up and down stairs a little bit. You know,
oh, that's a great idea.
That's what I used to do. I used to run up and then walk down, because downstairs is hard on your knees.
Wonderful idea. Well, I remember going from, you know, Hawaii through New York to the Caribbean and just getting out a little bit just to experience the snow for 5 minutes.
I was just going to say that. Yes, the weather.
So just get in a state of seeing and feeling while you're traveling, and that helps you get over jet lag also. So that's a good thing to do.
Yes, and we haven't really talked about jet lag, but you do in great detail. The other thing that's really cool about getting off a plane in these various places is some of the airports are really cool. Like Miami Airport is so much fun. And I had a little routine if I went to the Caribbean, which I used to do periodically, was to stop at this one place that had something called the Fantasy Platter, which I wouldn't eat it now, but I was younger then. And it was just all these amazing, you know, sherbets and cottage cheese and tropical fruit. And then I'd have some, I know you wouldn't approve, some Cuban coffee with that, you know, which was... and run around the airport and then go outside and inhale the amazing, you know, thick air and just do that whole thing. And I used to love actually getting off and doing those things. You know, we're going to Dallas Airport, which is a nightmare if you're in a hurry. But if you're not, it's this mind-blowing experience because it's another world from San Francisco Airport. So.
That's right. You can experience places a little bit. You can have a taste or a soupçon of a place just from the airport.
Now, the other thing, we only have like a minute left, but one of the other things that's changed along with SARS is airport security, and I wonder if you have some suggestions for people on handling that, because it's getting pretty invasive. You had some great suggestions for not letting them irradiate everything in your bag.
Yes. Well, I think the most important thing is to be sure that you watch your bag, because I've been targeted quite a few times for extra security checks, and they invite you over to a different area to do the spread eagle thing.
Ugh.
and as if you would just walk away from your wallet and your bag and you know, and you have to insist, but again, in that humble voice, a non-threatening voice, gee, I can't leave my bag, you know,
right.
I'm the only one watch. Oh, it's safe. They say, well, I'm the only one that can guarantee it if I watch it. So
yeah.
I have, you know, and you have to insist and keep your things.
Yeah,
with
and
you.
do not pack a pocket knife.
Oh,
because I've had my partner has lost several of those, and never make jokes about bombs.
That's
no,
right.
No bomb jokes. Oh, you know, Diana, you've been a real pleasure to talk to today. I really appreciate you making these books available at such a reasonable price so that we can give them away as a thank you gift during this hour. You've been such a help.
I'm so thrilled to be part of it. Thank you for inviting me, Lena.
Oh, it was a pleasure. We'll get you back on maybe soon. So again, thank you, Diana Fairchild, Fairechild. Her website is flyanna.com. And we thank you again.
Like flying.
Like fly, yeah. F L flyana.com.
Thank you, Lena.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye.
And I want to thank you all for listening. I'm Lena Berman. If you need more information or you want to listen to this or any other in the series Your Own Health and Fitness, go to the website yourownhealthandfitness.org, where you can find a list of other available shows, and you can find information about guests and the Progressive Health Observer and the Radio On Demand, where you can download the archives and articles. You can also call my information number at 707-874-2772 or reach Jeff Fawcett, Ph.D., directly at 707-874-1496. Your Own Health and Fitness is a joint production of Your Own Health and Fitness and KPFA-FM. Remember, being informed not only protects your health, it protects your freedom.